Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Kaf Aleph Amud Aleph, 16 lines down. The Gemara here is going back through the Braita I brought at the beginning of the Perek. The Braita helped us to understand why certain items in the Mishnah have a restriction of dam and why other items do not. And the Gemara now is going to go back through the Braita and try to dissect each one of the components of the Braita. Amamar, klalu pratu klal, iata dan elokeina prat. In the end, we came to the conclusion that the limud for dam comes from a klal pratuklal in Parshat Tzav. Kol dam lo tochlu, ofu behema, and then once again, kol dam. So we learned from that in klal pratuklal. Ma prat mifurash davar sheish bo tuma kala betuma chamura. We saw the character traits of the ofu behema that is a common denominator between them, which will determine which items do have this restriction of dam. But it has to be something that has both tumah kala, lighter forms of tumah, which the Gemara here considers as tumah tochlim, tumah chamura, which is tumah like an ava tumah that can be mitamei adam, but not only mitamei adam, mitamei adam, litamei bigadim, as we'll see later today. Yeshba isur veheter, it has the possibility of both isur and heter. Tosafot struggled with that yesterday because shchita is easy to understand. Beforehand it was asur. Now it is mutar, that's true by Behemat Torah, but we know that the dam of Behemat Me'ah is also restricted. So Tosafot said that Shechita does have Isur Veheter even by Behemat Me'ah, because it changes it from Eber Minachai to something that is qualified to be eaten by a Ben Noach, even though it may not be kasher to Israel. Behesh Ben Min Basar, it has flesh to it, and we saw yesterday that that excluded a Beitzah. Av kol davar sheish bo tuma kala v'tuma chamura v'chule. So too, any other item that shares those character traits, that dam is going to be asur. Av kol diktani l'tuye mai. We learned from the Braita all the things that are excluded from the common denominator, the character traits that are shared by an oaf and a behema. So that told us that dam shratzim, dam beitzim, dam dagim, dam chagavim, dam achal cheshtaim, all of those are excluded from the restriction of dam. What the Braita never did was tell you what's included from the klalu pratuklal. So that's what the Gemara is asking. Af kol, so too, everything that shares these character traits has that same din. So af kol diktani le tuye mai. What does that come to include? So amar av adar bar avin le tuye damo shel koi. Comes to include the blood of a koi. Micah savar, what is the opinion of this individual with regards to this Braita, with regards to a koi? Ika savar koi svekahu. If you think a koi is an animal where we don't know whether it's a behema or a chaya, itzrich kral mesar sveka. You need a posuk to tell you that a safek is restricted. The way Rashi terms it over here is that if it is a safek behema, safek chaya, it's irrelevant. Because the dam of a behema is asur, and the dam of a chaya is asur. So, irrespective of whether it's a behema or chaya, the result will be that the dam is asur. So then why do you need a ribui to tell you that? Mimon of shoch, it is asur. That's how Rashi explains it here. We actually saw Tosafot back in Bechorot, when the Gemara asked the same question, the Gavei Sveika, that Tosafot says that there's a more fundamental statement here, which is that the Torah does not address issues of safek, which is kamei shamayo. For God, there's no safek. A koi is either a chaya or a behema, and God knows which one it is. So the Torah is not going to address issues like that because it's our issue, it's our uncertainty, it's not God's uncertainty, and therefore the Torah will not address such an item. Although the Tosafot acknowledge that sometimes the Torah does address safek, but that's not when there's a safek about the hagdara, the characterization of something. Rather, when there's a safek, because there are different possible manifestations or outcomes of a circumstance. So if there are two possibilities of what could happen, then there is a possibility that you could have a safek midoraita. Nothing to do with doubt in terms of the actual item, but doubt in terms of the possibilities of what could take place or the outcomes in this situation. So there you could have a safek that's addressed by the Torah. But obviously here, the safek is in the inherent item. And therefore, there should be no safek midoraita. Ela kasavar koi birya bifnei atzmohi. Must be that the koi is negdar, is characterized as being its own entity. As the Bali Tosafot point out over here, Birya Bifnei Atzma has different meanings in different contexts. Tosafot says in the Gemara in Chulin, when it speaks about Koi, there it says Birya Bifnei Atzma, which is, it's a Chaya or a Behema, v'lo Echriyo bo Chachamim. Over there, the Birya Bifnei Atzma makes it sound like, oh, it has traits like a Chaya, like a Behema, and the Chachamim couldn't decide whether it is a Chaya or a Behema. That's why they called it Birya Bifnei Atzma. But that's almost no different than a Safek that we're speaking about here. When we speak about Birya Bifnei Atzma over here, we mean it's its own entity. Not Chaya, not Behema. It's a totally new entity that's independent. So you could frame that in one of two ways. It's an entity that is neither a Chaya nor a Behema, or it can be an entity that is both a Chaya and a Behema. But either way, it's an entity that does not fit into the category of Chaya or Behema. It's not just we need to know the information. It is a completely new identity that doesn't fit into Chaya or Behema. In that case, you would need a Ribui to include it because it wouldn't be subsumed under Chaya or Behema. So Rashi asks your question, why don't you say that the Klalu Prato Klal here comes to include Chaya because all you have in the Pasuk is Of and Behema. So Rashi quotes what we know again from the Gemara in Chulin, which is that Chaya lo itzchich l'rabot, the Chaya bichlal Behema. The Chaya is subsumed under Behema. The Gemara in Chulin proved that both directions, that Behema is subsumed in Chaya and Chaya is subsumed in Behema. And when the Torah writes one or the other, it does not necessarily mean that you exclude the other one. It has to have a specific indication of a miut, and not that simply because it says Behema, does that not mean Chaya, or simply because it says Chaya, does not mean Behema. And so Rashi says you don't need a Riboy for Chaya, because Behema already subsumed under that is Chaya. The Gemara says, Asher Chan Damo, once you go down that route to say that a Koi is a Birya Bifnei Atzma, then you can't make any assumptions with regards to Behema and Chaya in other circumstances of Isur. That's by Dom, we're already saying you need a special Riboy. That means like other issues of Achilat Isur, like Chelev, like Nevela, all of those you'll need a specific Riboy then because it's not included under Behema or Chaya. That's what the Gemara says. Ashachan Damo, you figured out where to get Dom from, the Riboy for Dom. Chelbo Minolon. How do you know the Chaleb now is restricted? Again, if it's a Safek Chaya, Safek Behema, if it's a Behema, the Chaleb is Asur. If it's a Chaya, the Chaleb is Mutar. So then you just have to decide between them. But here, if it's a Birya Bifnei Atzma, we don't know. We don't know if it's a Behema or a Chaya where it should be included. So now the Gemara says, Mikol Chaleb, from the Riboy in the Pasuk that says Kol Chaleb, that Riboy tells you not only Chaleb of a Behema, but even Chelev of a Koi. Nevelato minalan. Again, by Nevela. How do you know there's a restriction of Achila with regards to Nevela? That comes out of Mikol Nevela. That the Kol, again, is a Riboy by Nevela to tell you not only are Chayot and Behemot subject to Nevela, but so is a Koi. Gidan Hashem minalan. How do you know that Gidan Hashem is restricted in a Koi? Bikaf Hayerech Tayerachmano. Because the Torah says that a Gidin Asher is connected to, or is dependent on it having a Kaf Hayerech, having that, the type of rounded flesh, as Rashi calls it, that surrounds the area of the Yerech by the hip joint, or below the hip joint, that is what you need in order for it to be classified as Gidin Asher, or the problem of Gidin Asher. So as long as you have a kafa yerech, then you definitely have a gidin asher. So whether that means that you have the ball and socket joint, you have the rounded flesh, Rashi says over there, that covers the gidin asher, whatever that definition is of kafa yerech, as long as it's manifest in the animal, then you're going to have a problem of gidin asher. V'hayit lei kafa yerech. And it has a kafa yerech. And even though we note in the Gemara and Chulin, that so does a fowl or chicken has a kafayerech. Yet over there the Gemara says that there's no din of Gidin Asher with regards to birds. And that's because, as Rashi notes over here, the kaf hayerech that is found in the bird, as the Gemara says there, the basaro sit over it are strains of basaro, straight lines and not a rounded surface, or not circular in nature. And because of that, it doesn't qualify as kaf hayerech, which means like a spoon-like, a shaped type of fat. Again, whether it's the joint or it's the basaro itself, that is manifest in a behema. It is not manifest in a fowl. But the koi does have that, and therefore it's going to have a restriction of gidin asher. Tumato shchita min alon. How do you know that it's subject to tuma and it requires shchita? Gemara says, by this point, svara, it is logical. Midlachol mile rabbi rachmono ki behema, since it included all the other things that are associated with a behema. We already went through dam, chelev, nevela, gidin asher. Once you have all of those items, then tumato and shchitato should follow through so that it has tumat nevela. Before we included nevela for isra achila, now we're including nevela for the tum'ah that's associated with it and shchita, so that since it included it for all the other issues of beima, tumato ushchitato nami kebeima should have the same din as a beima, meaning that we've already shown through recurring information that the Torah wants to categorize it in a certain way. And we find that type of thing in the Torah, where if the Torah gives you numerous halachot that relate to a particular item, even though it doesn't state it specifically, you can paint a picture once you put all the pieces together. And that's what you have here. If you start putting the pieces together, that a koi is included for this, for this, for this, it means the koi is being treated like a behema in the Torah, even though, again, there's a safek about its haktara. Amamar. So back to the Braita again. We said in the Braita, Otsi da mehal cheshtaim, sheish ben tuma chamura, vein behem tuma kala. We excluded dam of the two-legged. Two-legged means human beings or human blood is excluded from the restriction because it does not meet the criteria that are set out by Ofen Behema, which is the fact that it has to have both tuma chamura, which again we said means Avatuma, but Avatuma to the point where it's not only Mitamei Adam, but it's Mitamei Adam and Bigadav. And Tuma Kala, which means Tuma Tochlim. And that is absent by human beings, because human beings only have one type of Tuma, and that is Tuma Chamura. There is no Tuma Kala by human beings. It should be for obvious reasons, which is that Tuma Tochlim assumes that you would eat. And obviously when it comes to human flesh, that's not the case. And so that's why there's no Tuma Kala by human beings. Beremini, is that really the case? Achotech min ha'adam. Person who cuts off flesh from an individual. So here, it's not an eiver min achai, because eiver min achai has the same din as a mate. It's mitamei, ol, it's mitamei b'magal masa. That's different than basar min achai. Here we're speaking about basar min achai, which does not have tuma associated with it. Tzarich machshava ve'echsher. In order for that to have any tuma, you need to first of all qualify it to be considered ochlin, which means that the default status is that human flesh is not classified as ochel. And then, besides that, even after you determine that it's going to be ochel, then it requires hechsher, which it requires priming for it to become tameh. You have to have a liquid that washes it or goes over it before it can become tameh. The Rabbeinu Gershom's Gersh over here is that Ein Tzarich Hechsher, and that's because if it stayed attached to the Adam, it would be so-called a Tamei Tumach Kamura, which we'll see obviates the need for Hechsher. The way that we have the Gersh, it also requires Hechsher because it wasn't Okel, and once it's separated away, there's no so-called a Tamei Tumach Kamura. Now obviously, if you are speaking about Makshava and Hechsher, that's only relevant by Tumat Ochlim. That's something that's uniquely associated with Tumat Ochlim. Tumat Amet or Tumat Chamura doesn't have any of those requirements. V'kashalan, Machshava, Lamali. Why do you need a Machshava? Taseh, Chaticha, Shelo, Machshava. Why do you need particular indications of the fact that you're going to eat it to give it Tumat Ochlim? Why don't you just say the severing or the cutting of it by itself is the Machshava? V'amarish Lokish, Mechodcho, Lekeleb. In this case, he was cutting off the flesh to feed it to the dog. And the Gemara says, why does that make a difference? Umachshava lekelev, lav machshava, thinking or thoughts about feeding dogs does not have implications with regards to the dinei tuma. Below, vahatznan, we have a mishnah. Kalal amru bituma. We have this principle with regards to tuma. Kolam yuchat lechol adam, anything that a person would eat, tameh. It has a din of tumat ochlim. Achi basel me'achilat kelev, until it's no longer ra'oi for a dog to eat it. So you see that dogs eating of food has relevance within the world of tumah. So how can you make a claim here that just because you had in mind to cut it off for a kelev, that means that it's not ra'oi la'achilat adam, and therefore you need a second machshava to bring it into the world of ochlim. It says, ha'ola suke tuma mine. That's to remove tuma from it. Kevan de mikara habachazi la'adam. Since over there, it originally was ra'oi for adam, suke mituma, achi basel mi'achilat kelev. Once something already has the capacity to accept tuma, or it is tamei, it's much harder to remove it. Once you've attained the status, to remove the status, that threshold is much higher, and that threshold is actually pasel min lekelev, until it's no longer ra'oi for a dog. So if it's ochel for adam, then it will remain with that status of ochel adam, even when it loses the status. It's no longer edible for people. As long as it's still edible for a dog, it still will retain the status of ochel, because it once was ochel for adam. Or if it once was tamei tumat ochlim, then it won't lose that tuma until it's posel mi'achilat kelev. Hocha lachute le tuma. Over here you're trying to have tuma devolve upon the item. That is a higher threshold to get it to be mukshar the gabal tuma, which is ichazi l'adam, chazi l'kelev. If it's ra'oi for a person, then it's also ra'oi for a kelev. Ilo chazi l'adam, lo chazi l'kelev. It's not ra'oi for adam, it's not ra'oi l'kelev, or could be ra'oi l'kelev, it just has no relevance to us, because just because it's ra'oi l'kelev doesn't mean that it's ra'oi l'adam. So the threshold to bring it into the world of ochlim, or to bring it into the world of tumah, that's set by the standard of adam. Once it is already tamei, or once it is in the world of tumat ochlim, that has then a lower threshold, meaning that it's much harder to get rid of it, and that a kelev will have impact on. So you conflated two issues. Yes, kelev is relevant when you're trying to remove tumah. Kelev is not relevant when you're trying to create tuma tochlim, or create the ability to have tuma, that has a standard of adam. So here, if he does the chaticha of the basar adam to feed it to a kelev, that doesn't have tuma tochlim until you have to have a machshava. In particular, that it will be brought for human consumption, only then does it gain a level of tuma tochlim. Mikomakom, here's the question from the Braita, which took us a long while to get there. Ktani machshava. It says over there, you need a machshava to bring it into the world of tumat ochlim. Umachshava the tumat kalahi. And as I noted before, you only need machshava and hechsher when you're dealing with tumat ochlim. You do not need it when you're dealing with tumat chamura. But you told me before that human beings only have one type of tumat, tumat chamura. Then how do we have here a case where you're talking about tumat kalah with regards to human flesh? Where it says, hani milei mechaim. Wait a minute. Again, you're confusing issues. Over here, we're speaking about when the person is still alive. It says it's a difference between when the human being is alive, the basar that's severed away from him does not have tuma chamura, because it's basar min achai. It's not basar min amet. It's also not aver min achai. Aver min achai and basar min amet have high levels of tuma. Basar min achai does not have that high level of tuma. But that's not what the Braita was speaking about. When the Braita said that human beings only have one form of tumah, tumah chamura, that's post their being deceased. Once they are a mate, then they only have tumah chamura. There's no such thing as tumat ochlim. Where it says, the gabata gabi behema, well then, what's the similar scenario by a behema? Lachar mita. A behema, after it is dead, and even though the truth is that if it had been by kosher animals that they were nishkatim, there wouldn't be tumah nevela. And that's how you could come up with this scenario that by nishkatim, there is tumah kala, and by the case where they're not nishkat, where they just died, then they'd be a tumat nivela. So they have both tumah kala and tumah chamura associated with them. But by b'nei mot me'ot would not be true, and we know that dam by b'nei mot me'ot is also restricted. And so therefore, that would not be a good example, as well as the fact that maybe we're trying to have a situation in which the same item is mitamei tumah tochlim as well as tumah chamura. And that's not true here, because these are two different scenarios. One where there is shechita, one where there is no shechita. That's why the Gemara is searching for a case whereby even though there is tumat nevela, there still has a relevance to the tumah tochlim. Ibasar mitamei tumat chamura. If it is flesh, then it does have a din of Tumah Chamura because it's a Nevela. And once it's a Nevela, then it's Tumah Chamura. There's nothing about it that's not going to have this Tumah Chamura associated with it. Vim Dam, it's a Tamei Tumah Chamura. And if it's the blood of the animal, it also has that same status of Tumah Chamura. It's not. Because we have a Mishnah from Adiot, Dam Nevelot. When it comes to the Dam of a Nevela, Beit Shammai Mitaharim, Beit Hillel Mitamim. That Beit Shammai says that it is Tahor, but Beit Hillel says it has Tumat Nevela associated with it. Well, if it has Tumat Nevela associated with it, then where exactly is this Tumah Kala that you're speaking about with regards to a Behemah? Where it says, Lo Nitzricha Ela Lechedidnan. We need it for the following Mishnah from Uksin, a Mishnah that we bumped into numerous times. Saw it back in Bechorot. We also saw it back in Chulin. Nevelat Behema Tmeya Bechol Makom. When it comes to Nevelah Behema Tmeya, anywhere you speak about it, Nevelat Of HaTahor Bakfarim, and the Nevelah of a kosher bird in the villages. Both of those, Tzarich Makshava, Ve'ein Tzarich Hechsher. They require Makshava in order to bring them into the world of Tumah, but they do not require Hechsher. The reason they do not require Hechsher is because of a principle which we're going to see in a second, which is that Sofan L'Tamei Tumah Chamura. In the end, they will have a status of Tumah Chamura, and that status of Tumah Chamura makes it that you don't need Hechsher when it comes to it. As far as they're having Tumat Ochlim, there you need Machshava in order to create the Tumat Ochlim, or put it into the world of Ochel. And that's because, as Rashi says, with regards to a Nevela of a Behemat Me'ah, people don't eat it. That is, Jews and non-Jews. Both of them do not eat Nevelot from Behemot to Me'ot. Rashi said it both in Chulin and in Bechorot. That's a given. People don't eat dead donkeys, dead horses. They don't eat that meat. If they kill it for the meat, that's one thing. But over here we're talking about a nevela. So that means that in order for it to garner status of ochlin, doesn't have to be the Jews eat it. It just has to be that human beings would eat it, even if it's a goy. So you need to bring it into the world of ochlin. That only happens with active makshava. The default is that it's not considered to be ochel. Nevelat of tahor, similarly, is uniquely associated with the cities and not the kfarim. Rashi is soter himself in a number of places. We saw this before, that Rashi says in some places that's because in the kfarim they are poor and in the cities they are rich. So the poor people, they don't eat these items, but the rich people do. Or the other way around, that in the kfarim they have plenty of regular meat. They're not going to eat fowl. But in the cities where there's not enough meat for everyone, there they eat fowl. So for whatever reason it is, in the cities, the fowl are considered to be ochel by default because they are consumed there. Whereas in the kfarim, they are not considered to be ochlim by default, and therefore you need a makshava. But when it comes to nevelat of tahor, we know that if you swallow nevelat of tahor, then it's mitameh bebeit habliyah. As you swallow it, it creates tumah, and that's tumah chamura. And therefore, since Sofoli Tamei Tumah Chamura, it does not require Hechsher. So both of those items require Machshava, but they do not require Hechsher. Nevela Behema Torah Bechol Makom. When it comes to kosher animals, the Nevelot of those in all places, V'Nevelat Of Tahor V'Chelev B'Shvakim, and when it comes to the Nevela of an Of Tahor and Chelev, when it is in the Shuk, and the Shuk means in the cities, so here you have the Of Tahor, which before we said in the Kfarim, needs Makshava. Over here, when we're in the Shvakim, that means in the cities, you're not going to need that Makshava. And the Chelev, Ein Tzrichim Makshava Velo Hechsher. They don't require Makshava, and they don't require Hechsher. They don't require Makshava, because Minastam, they are Ochlim. And since Minastam, they are Ochlim, that's why they don't need Makshava. As far as Hechsher is concerned, over here, the Nevela of the Behema Torah, as well as the Nevelat of Tahor, do not require Hechsher because of the fact that they are Sofan, the Tamei Tumah Chamura, because Nevela of the Behema Torah has a din of Nevela, and Nevelat of Tahor, once again, has Tumah Bebeit HaBliyah. So they're Sofan, the Tamei Tumah Chamura. The question really arises with regards to the Chelev over here. Why is it that the Chelev does not require Hechsher, the Kabel Tumah? So the chelev over here, according to the Rambam, is speaking about the chelev from a nevelat mea, and he says there that the chelev has the same din as the basar, and therefore people in the shvakim eat it, and since they eat it, it doesn't require machshava, and since the chelev has the same din as the basar, it is so fallen to make tumah chamura, and for that reason, it doesn't require hechsher. The problem with that is that we know by basar v'beimatz mea, that is a nevela, people don't eat it. So if you tell me that the chelev is like the basar, then why should it be that by default it is ochel even in the shvakim? Therefore, Rashi, Tosafot both explain that the chelev that we're speaking about here is chelev from a behema tehora, that is shkuta, a kosher animal that was shechted, and that type of chelev is eaten in the shvakim. Now, it doesn't require machshava because it's eaten in the shvakim. It doesn't require hechsher because the dam shchita was machshirit. Because the food was already a food item by the point of shchita, and therefore the shchita, or dam shchita, is makshirit. Whereas in the kfarim, when you go to the villages, the chelev is not eaten over there, therefore it's not a default of ochel, and it requires makshova in order to bring it into the world of ochel. The problem is that when you bring it into the world of ochel, that's already post-shchita. And hechsher that happens before the item has a status of ochel is not considered to be hechsher. And that's the reason Rashi says that chelev is only mentioned in this part of the Mishnah by the case of the shvakim, and not by the kfarim, because by the shvakim it has the same din, which is, it's automatically food, and since it's a behema shchuta, the dam of the shchita was makshirit. In the kfarim, like the other items that we mentioned before in the Mishnah, it's not stam ochel, and therefore requires makshava, so it should have been in that list as well. The reason it's not put into that list is because not only does it require machshava to make it an ochel, it also requires hechsher, unlike the other items. The other items in the list don't require hechsher because they're sofam l'tameh tumah chamura. On the other hand, the chelev requires not only machshava but also hechsher because it's not sofam l'tameh tumah chamura, and the shechita already happened before you had in mind to make it into ochel. And that's why Rashi says chelev does not appear in the earlier part of the Mishnah by the kfarim, but does appear in the part with the shvakim. Because even though in the kfarim it also needs makshava, but there it also needs hechsher, and it would not match up with the other items that are mentioned in the kfarim. Vamarle Rav, the Rabbi Chiya. It's a Rav queried of Rabbi Chiya with regards to this Mishnah. Makshava lamali. Why do I need makshava? L'tuma kala. The only reason you need makshava is to get it to tumat uchlim. So he gufa tumahi. It itself is inherently tameh. Nevelat beima temeya. Nevelat beima tohura. Both of those are nevela. Nevela has its own tuma. It inherently conveys tuma because it has a status of an av hatuma. So what do you need the machshava of tuma toklim when already it's metameh in of itself and it has a tuma chamura? So why are you speaking about tuma toklim? It's especially true by the nevelat beimat mea because of the fact that the Mishnah tells you that you need machshava in order to bring it into the world of ochlim. Well, machshava is only relevant by the tumat ochlim, but a nevela of a behemat meya, which by definition, any behemat meya that's dead is going to be a nevela. So then, what is the story that you need tumat ochlim? It already has tumat nevela associated with it. Amalei, gondika pachot mikazayit nevela. So you have less than a kazayit in nevela, which is the threshold shiur for nevela, is a kazayit. The yisur achila, the tumah are associated with a kazayit. If it has less than a kazayit, there's no issue. There's no tumat nevela, but there's also no tumat ochlim. Tumat ochlim has a minimum threshold of a kabeitza. So he says, v'tzirfa lepachot mikabeitza tochlim. And then that was added together with other food substances, items, that then equal up to the minimal threshold of ochlim that can convey tumah, which is a kabeitza. You need a kabeitza worth of ochlim in order to convey tuma. So over here, to make up that kabeitza worth of ochlim, you have part of it from regular ochlim, and then you have this less than a kazayit nevela joined together that then equal a kabeitza of ochlim. So that's where the machshava is going to be impactful according to Rabbi Chiya. Just to note, over here we're speaking about conveyance of tuma, which everybody agrees that in order to convey tuma tochlim, you need a kabeitza worth of ochlim. There is a machloket, even a stira in Rashi and in the Bali and Tosafot, as to whether that is also true for Kabbalat Tumah. Is Kabbalat Tumah Tochlim b'mashu, Or is it also with the kabetza? But over here we're speaking about conveyance of tumah, so it's definitely the threshold is a kabetza. The high, v'hai, habi kabetza. When you add up the less than the kazayit of nevela and the less than a kabetza worth of food items, together they equal up to a kabetza. It says, wait a minute, if that's the case, then why do you need a makshava, but you don't need a hechsher? We had examples of a nevelat, beimatz mea b'chol makom, nevelat of tor b'kfarim, tzarich makshava, ve'ein tzarich hechsher. Why don't you need a hechsher in that case? Because if you're talking about tumah chamura, I understand why you don't need a hechsher. But if you're speaking about tumah tochlim, then why don't you require a hechsher? He says, the ha tana debe Rabbi Shmuel. This is the principle that we noted before. I'll call zera zerua asher yizareya mazraim yuchadim shein sofan latamei tumah chamura. Since they will never reach a threshold of tumah, that is tumah chamura, I mean they'll never be an av hatumah. No matter what happens to them, they don't attain the status of tumah chamura, but they also in the end don't automatically reach that level of tumah chamura. Tzarich hechsher. They require hechsher. Av kol shein sofan latamei tumah chamura. So too, any item that will not reach that threshold of tumah chamura, tzarich hechsher. But nevela is not that way. A nevela will reach the threshold of tumah chamura. Since it will reach the threshold of tumah chamura, it doesn't have a requirement of hechsher. It says, anamelei, hani mili b'ochlim d'alma. That's in general foods you need to have a hechsher. Leibo pachot mikazayit nevela. Because they don't have subsumed in there less than a kazayit worth of nevela. Here, these ochlim, together with the less than kabetza of ochlim, is less than a kazayit of nevela to make up the kabetza. Had it reached the level of a kazayit, it wouldn't require hechsher. So too over here, it does not require hechsher. So Rabbi Chiya here has a number of chidushim in order to get to the answer that Rav required, which was, we have a Mishnah that tells us certain items require makshava, but they do not require hechsher. Now, the reason that makshava is important to us is because we want to establish the fact that with regards to animals, there's tumah kala and there is tumah chamura, as opposed to human beings where there's only tumah chamura. So the Gemara had tried at first to say, wait a minute, by human beings, you also have tumah kala with basar min achai. Gemara says, no, we're talking about mate. Talking about only after the person is deceased. Over there, there's only tumah chamura. Gemara says, well, what's the equivalent by animals? Where an animal dies, there's also only tumah chamura. Gemara says, no, you see that there is tumah kala because of the fact that we have the Mishnah in Nuksin. Requires makshava, requires hechsher. That shows you that we're speaking about tumah kala. But Rav just generically asks on that Mishnah, why do you need makshava and hechsher if it is, in the end, first of all, sofola tamei tumah chamura, which would then not require hechsher? And number two is, if it's already tamei tumat nevela, then what do you speak about tumat ochlim? Why is that relevant? So Michia gives his answer, which is, dealing with less than a kazayit of nevela, so it doesn't have that inherent tumah. Once you have less than a kazayit of nevela, that doesn't have that inherent tumah, then why are you obviated from the need to have hechsher? Hechsher is a requirement when something doesn't reach tumah chamura. This is not going to reach tumah chamura. To that, Rabbi Chiya answers that this is a scenario where the chatzi kazayit, or less than a kazayit worth of nevela, is mitzuraf to a less than kabetz of ochlim, to make up a kabetz of ochlim. That's why it's relevant by tumat ochlim. The hechsher is not required because of the tziruf, the possibility that had it been that you added on more nevela here and reached a kazayit, it would have tumah chamura. So since it has the capacity to reach tumah chamura, even though it itself can't reach it, that capacity in of itself obviates the need for hechsher. And that's the way the Rav Chiya deals with it. So now we have an answer to our question. In the Braita, when it says dam mehal cheshtayim is different than dam beima, dam mehal cheshtayim is because mehal cheshtayim have tumah chamura solely when it comes to mate, whereas by a nevela, by beima, you have tumah kala when it's less than a kazayit, and has relevance of tumah tochlim when it's mitzuraf to other ochlim to make up a kabetza. And even though it is not mitamei tumah chamura, and will never mitamei tumah chamura, the capacity or the potential to be mitzuraf with another piece of nevela to reach a kazayit makes it that it could have, or possibly could have had that tumah chamura, and that's enough not to acquire hechsher over here. Lafuke mate to the exclusion of a mate, meaning a human being. Afagav di memalule lo metamate to matochlim. Even if you take less than a kazayit of mate, and then you combine it with less than a kibetza of klim, that will not be metamate to matochlim. Mishum de betelai dato etzal kol adam. We say that this person, no matter what he thinks, is dismissed because he's unconventional. It's something that is not acceptable, and therefore we do not pay heed to his thinking that this is going to be ochel. Even though there are certain items, like we saw of a nevela behemat me'ah, whereby most people don't eat it. But if a person decides that that's what they're going to eat, or they are willing to eat it, there we say that his makshava will be koveya, because that's considered to be something that is, we'll call it ra'ui la'achila, something that's within the world or the purview of food. But when it comes to human beings or human flesh, nobody believes that that's within the purview of achila. It's so far out of the normal range that we don't pay heed to what he's thinking, and therefore you can never have tumat ochlim. Even in the similar scenario to what Rabbi Chiya created for nevela, you can't have that by tumat adam, because we don't allow person's machshava to have any impact, and therefore the item will never be considered ochlim in order to have tumat kala. It's either going to be nothing, or it's going to have tumat amet. That's the only two options here. There's no in-between status of tumat ochlim because of betela dato etzo kol adam. And that's the way the Raifat paskins, that you can't have tumat ochlim associated with basar adam, because there's no feasibility to have it, like the Gemara states over here. Although the Rambam seems to learn this, that this is explaining why you need a machshava or an act of machshava to make it into ochel, is because there's no default status. That's why you need a machshava over here as opposed to nevela, and it's explaining why you need machshava. Although that does not read so smoothly into the Gemara, because the Gemara seems to indicate that betela dato etzol kol adam means that you don't even have the capacity to do such a thing, and favors the reading of the Raivut. It's interesting to note this, because I remember Rav Amital always used to, when he spoke about certain Gemaras that say that we have a requirement, like the Gemara in the 8th Perek in Yoma, that says if a person has to eat Isur, we do Akal Akal. You always take the lighter form of Isur before you take the more Chamor form of Isur. If someone is a Chole, if someone is in Sakana, so we try to opt for things that are lower forms of Isur rather than higher forms of Isur. He said if you took that literally, then you would be more apt to eat human flesh than you would be a nevela, because the nevela involves an isur lav, and human flesh has no isur mentioned in the Torah. So, if you were just to look at the theoretical halacha, you would come to the conclusion that cannibalism would be preferred over eating a nevela, or eating dam, or eating chaleb, because those involve either isur lav, isur karet, and here you would have cannibalism, wouldn't have that. But what the Gemara says over here, and that's what Rav Amital always used to say, is the reason the Gemara doesn't address it, or the reason the Torah doesn't address it, because it's not even on the table. It's not even in consideration. Cannibalism is not a choice between cannibalism and something else. So therefore, the Gemara is not even addressing, or the Torah will never address that, because it doesn't consider it to be an option. So if it doesn't an option, it doesn't have to tell you that you don't eat it. It's so obvious, it's so much a given, that any rational person wouldn't understand that that's not your first choice, or that's not even a choice at all. And therefore, the halacha doesn't address it, and that's what the Gemara is saying here too. Betela dato, it's okal adam. Doesn't matter if a person thinks in this perverse way, it just doesn't matter, because we don't consider this to be a viable option for anyone. Okay, Rav Chananya Amar. So Rav Chananya over here, according to the Rambam, seems to agree with Rabbi Chiya, just bring another option, because in the Rambam Paskins Halacha, he brings both the option of Rabbi Chiya and the option of Rav Chananya. But if you look in the Balei Tosfot over here, he says, Rav Chananya, lo necho le lukume kudukma Rabbi Chiya. He didn't like what Rabbi Chiya said. The dochaku, it is a very strained answer, what he's saying. Lomar teven zilu mitzaref le de kezayit, mishumaki lo bayechsher. The fact that in potential, had this chatzi kezayit reached the level of a kezayit, it could have had tumat chamura. That makes it that you don't need a hechsher. He goes, that's a really far-fetched statement. And there's an additional dochak in the words of Rabbi Chiya, which is, that Tumah Chamura v'Tumah Kala betray Duchtei Tumah Chamura b'Kazayit v'Tumah Kala b'Pachot b'Kazayit. The other difficulty is you're now creating scenarios that are not exactly the same scenario. You're telling me that Nevela has Tumah Chamura when it has a Kazayit and has Tumah Kala when it has less than a Kazayit. That means in the same structure or the same shiur, you don't have Chamura and Kala. You only have it when it's differentiated. So in the same item, you can't have both things be true, Tumah Chamura and Tumah Kala. For that reason, Bali Tosfot say that Rav Hanani over here is rejecting Rav Chiya and comes up with a different solution. Not that his solution is so easy, but given that Rav Chiya's solution is pretty dochak, he at least gives something that's a little less dochak in his explanation, which is, Afilu Teima Dabi Kazayit. Even if it is a Kazayit, so that solves both of your problems. Once it is already a Kazayit, then you have manifestation of Tumah Chamura and Tumah Kala in the same shi'ur. And number two is, you understand why you don't need Hekshir anymore, because it's a Kazayit worth. Ha'cha b'mayiskinan, what's the scenario here? Gon shechipo bibatzik. He covered it up in dough. Since it's totally subsumed in dough, you can't have any Tumat Maga over here, because you can't come into contact with the item that's there, the nevela that's there, because it's subsumed in this batzik. Where it says, Yehochi Heksher Nami Nibayi. So then, why don't you require Heksher over here? Hani Mili Beuchlin Achrine Delo Mitamu Lo B'Maga V'Lo B'Masa. You only need Heksher where the Ochlim don't have any form of Tumah associated with them. Not Tumat Maga, not Tumat Masa. Avohocha over here, Nii Delo Mitame B'Maga. Over here, if you come into contact with it, there is no Tumat Maga because of the Batzik that's surrounding it. The mechaper be batzik, because it's surrounded with batzik, you can't come into direct contact with the nevela. B'masamia litamei da'al tonle. If you carry it, you will be tamei because you are moving it. Meaning that tumat masa does not require direct contact with the item; just requires that you are actually carrying the item. Over here, you can carry the nevela inside the batzik and still be tamei tumat masa. Afuke mate. That comes to exclude the case or scenario of a mate. Da'afa gav dechipo bebatzeik. Even if you put a kazait min a mate into dough and wrap it up, mitamei tumah chamura. It still has tumah chamura, the tumah bokat vola, bokat v'yoredet. That's because the nature of tumat a mate is that it has tumat what's called ohel. The tumat ohel affects anything above the tumah, anything below the tumah. Unless there is a cubic tefach that surrounds it, that then limits the scope of where the Tumah goes, the Tumah then otherwise rises to the heavens, goes down to the depths of the earth, and anything that's under it or above it is going to be Tameh. So here where it's wrapped in dough, there is nothing that has a tefach or an ohel around it. That means the Tumah Tameh is going to burst up, burst down. By definition, you're going to be Tameh when you come into contact with this item, or when you are engaged with this item. As opposed to the case of the batzek around the nevela, where yes, it might have tumat masa, but it does not have tumat maga, and therefore there could be relevance of tumat ochlim over here in a scenario whereby you have batzek around it, and you have the nevela inside. The hagdara now, in terms of tumat maga, would only be with regards to tumat ochlim, not with regards to tumat nevela. And that's because of it both being ochel associated with the batzeik that is around it. And the batzeik, it could then be mitzteref to the batzeik to create the kabeitza that would then convey tuma. That's the answer of Rav Hananya. Now, what's interesting is, if you remember when we learned earlier in the Gemara, that anything that does not have tumat maga does not have tumat masa. That means that if you can't touch the item, then you also can't have tumat masa. Even though Tumat Masa does not require Maga, Tumat Maga is a prerequisite for there being Tumat Masa. So we saw in certain instances when we discussed this that there was a minute hole in the item. So even though you couldn't have Tumat Maga, but that small hole allowed it that there is a potential Maga, and that potential Maga then opened up the possibility of Tumat Masa. Over here, if you're speaking about a Batzeik around and there's no Tumat Maga, then how do you have Tumat Masa? So you must have to say that the batzeik is not completely surrounding the tumat and veila over here. There must be some opening or some access to it that allows it to be tumat masa. that even though you could hold the whole thing through the batzeik and never come into contact with it, there has to be potential maga, because with potential maga, then that opens the possibility of tumat masa. Amar mar. So now we move on to the next one. You can see here it's in parentheses, because we're going to see in a second that Rashi says, Nir Beinai, Dolo Garcina. Rashi thinks that this piece of the Gemara, he throws it out, he says it makes no sense. Amar mar, Yatsu Shratzim. You leave out Shratzim, Dam Shratzim does not have a din of Dam. Shein Bahen Tuma. They don't have Tuma associated with them. Velo, what do you mean? They don't have Tuma associated with them? Sheretz Mitamei B'maga. So doesn't a Sheretz Mitamei B'maga? My answer is, B'masa lo Mitamei. It's only Mitamei B'maga, it's not Mitamei B'masa. Rashi says over here about that. The Ha Milta, I think, should not be here. Shamalei Masa Miolo Mitamei. He says, well, it doesn't have Tuma Masa. Da'uf Nami lo Mitamei B'masa. Wait a minute, a bird doesn't have Tumat Masa, and it says earlier on that it's Mitamei Tuma Chamura. That has a din of Tumah Chamura. So how can you claim here that Shratzim don't have a din of Tumah Chamura because they're only Mitamei B'maga, not Mitamei B'masa? First of all, Vela Dov Tor is not Mitamei B'maga or B'masa. And Vela Dov Tamei is only Mitamei B'maga, not Mitamei B'masa. So how can you tell me that Shratzim don't have a din of Tumah Chamura when Vela Dov Tor and Vela Dov Tamei have a din of Tumah Chamura? The answer to that question, the Balei Tosafot say, is that there's a difference between the lack of Tumat Masa and Sheretz and the Of Tameh. And that is that over here, the requirement of Tumat Chamura is not simply Tumat Maga, Tumat Masa, but it means Tumat that is Mitameh Bigadim. So does what we define Tumat Chamura, but you're not simply being something that's an Ava Tumat, something that's an Ava Tumat that can also convey Tumat Bigadim. So that's true by a regular Nevela of a Behema. If you pick up or you have masa by nevela, the Adam is tamei, and so is his clothing tamei, because that's tumat masa conveys tumat to the Adam and to Bigodim. That's why it has tumat chamura. By birds, you have the same thing by nevela tov tahor. By nevela tov tahor, when you swallow it, the beta bliya, that has tumat chamura, but not only tumat chamura, but tumat chamura le tamei Bigodim, in order to make it that has tumat Bigodim. Sheretz never has that. Sheretz has Tumat Maga, not Tumat Masa, but the lack of Tumat Masa is not the problem. It's the lack of Tumat that ever reaches Tumat Begadim. Because even though birds don't have Tumat Masa, they still can have Tumat Begadim because in Of Tahor, Velat Of Tahor, when you swallow it, it conveys Tumat Begadim. Tosafot on the Mishnah then says, well then what about an Of Tamei? How does an Of Tamei ever reach that Tumat Chamura? So Tosafot on the Mishnah said that it just means in its min, in its category. Since the Of Tahor can have it, so too the Of Tamei has it, even though the Of Tamei by itself doesn't have that qualification. So Tosafot, based on that, would leave this girsa in and distinguishes between Tumat Masa versus Tumat that conveys Tumat to the Bigadim, and he leaves it in. Rashi eliminates it from the girsa because he says it doesn't make sense in contrast to the Of, where we say it has Tumat Chamura, even though it doesn't have Tumat Masa. Amamar, Yatsa Dam Dagim and Dam Chagavim. The end of the Brisa says that the blood of locust and the blood of fish do not have any isur because kulan heter. They're totally heter. My kulo heter. What does it mean they're all heter? Ilei ma dechelbo mutar. If you're going to tell me because it doesn't have an isur chelev, hare chaya dechelba mutar. When you're talking about a chaya, its fats are mutarim, v'dama asur. That's not a qualification to tell you that your dam is okay. Ve'el mishum delepo isur giren asheh. So you're going to tell me that there's no din of Gidin Asheh, therefore its dam is okay. Bari Of, Delepe Isur Gidin Asheh. Of doesn't have a din of Gidin Asheh, as we already discussed, because the Of doesn't have a Kafa Yerech, even though it has that joint or that basar over there. The nature of the basar that surrounds the hip is stratified in a straight way, strips of basar that are there, and not this type of rounded basar that you find in the Behema, and that's why an Of is excluded. And for that reason, either because of the way the joint is structured, the fat is structured, they are not included in the Isur of Gidin Asheh. Yet, Damo Asur, yet the bird's blood is still problematic. Elamai Kulo Heter, what does it mean that they're totally Heter? Delo Bai Shchita. That they require no Shchita. Meaning that they are edible as they are. You can eat a fish, you can eat a grasshopper. From the Gemara here, and Midoraita, that happens to be true, you can eat them alive or dead. Doesn't require shkita. You can eat them when they're dead. You can eat them in any form or shape that you want. If that's the case, then clearly their dam is not going to be asur. Although in the Gemara in Shabbat, it does say that there's a restriction about the shakfu. The Gemara in Sochim does say that eating live fish or live locust grasshoppers is restricted because of balta shaksu. It's not because there's an inherent isur with them, but it's just considered to be something that is disgusting or abhorrent type of behavior, and therefore it's under the rubric of balta shaksu, but again, it's kulo heter. It says it's kulo heter, the dam is not restricted. Amarmar, ma'of shein bo kilayim, the bright that continued afterwards, if you only had oaf and not behemah mentioned in the pasuk, you might have thought that just like an oaf doesn't have kilayim, af behemah, so too only animals that didn't have kilayim would be classified as having their dam be asur. Talmud Lomar, behemah. That's why the pasuk used the word behemah. Kilayim demai. What exactly is the kilayim that a bird doesn't have, but a animal does have? Ilayim kilayim darba. If you're talking about crossbreeding, where you're mixing and matching different species, v'kilayim d'charisha, or kilayim of hitching them up to work together, that's not. We have a Mishnah that's mifureshet, chaya va'ov kiyotzeben, that a chaya and ov have the same din as behema when it comes to kilayim. That's both by harba, by crossbreeding of species. That's also true when you would hitch them up to do the same work. They can't be hitched up together because they have a din of kilayim. So then there's no distinction between behemah and oaf in that situation. The tzemer, quote-unquote, of the bird, you'll never be chayav kilayim for, which means the feathers of the bird, the down of the bird, is not subject to the din of kilayim. That's not true by some animals. The wool of animals that have wool within the sheep family, their wool is restricted in kilayim of shatneis, whereas the wool, quote unquote, or the wool, quote unquote, of A's, horses, which really means it's hair and not wool, those are not restricted in kilayim. So that's what the Mishnah means. If you just had written oaf, I would have thought only things that are not subject to kilayim, like an oaf, which means that it's down, its feathers, don't have a din of kilayim, so do animals that don't have a din of kilayim, meaning animals that only have hair and don't have wool, they would be subject to isur dam. But those that do have a din of kilayim would not be subject to the din of dam. That's why I need the word behemah to tell me all behemoth are restricted with regards to achilat dam. Amar Rav Yehuda Marav, dam shvatzim lokim alav b'kezayit. When it comes to the dam of shvatzim, you will get malkot for consuming it at the level of a kezayit. Meitevei, is that really true? Dam atkol, dam alev, dam aklayot, dam evarim, like in our Mishnah, where we had tchol and lev mentioned, which is the blood that's associated with the spleen and with the heart. And now we add on also the blood of the kidneys and the blood of Evarim, which is what we saw in the Shita Mikubetzet on the Mishnah, that tchol and lev were just examples. They were picked because they have life force in them, and therefore maybe you would have thought that they have a higher level. The Mishnah tells you, no, that they just have a din of Dam Evarim. And Dam Evarim is under a restriction of a lav, it does not have karet. So here the Braita brings you a large number of these items. Arielu belotase, similar to our Mishnah, they have an isur lav associated with them. Dam al cheshtaim, dam shvatzim viramasim, when it comes to human blood, when it comes to the blood of shvatzim and the blood of creepy crawly things, asur, there is a problem with it. Ve'ein chayevin alav, but you're not chayav, meaning that there is seemingly no lav associated with it. That's what Gemara asks. By ain't chayvin alav, if you're going to tell me that it means they're not chayav karet, so you're going to suggest that it means they're not subject to karet, but they do have an isur lav, I have two things wrong with that explanation. Chada, tahainu resha. That's the case, why did the breita divide up the items in the first part of the breita to the items in the second half of the breita? In the first part of the Braita, you have items that are Isurei Lav. Makes it sound like the second part of the Braita are things that don't even meet that threshold of Isurei Lav. Otherwise, you should have just combined them into one list. The Od, Tana, Milav, Namekim Aitle. We have explicit that the Tana says that it doesn't have a din of a Lav, the Tani. Yetzad Dam Shvatzim, Shein Bayim Tuma Chamura. And we saw in our Braita that we brought earlier in the Gemara that Shvatzim were excluded from the Isur of Dam, where it says that Yatsu Shvatzim, because they don't have Tumah Chamura. Since they don't have Tumah Chamura, they're not subject to the din of Dam, and that means they don't even have any Sulav associated with them. So how do we reconcile the fact that all these Braito tell us that Dam Shvatzim is not subject to a Lav, yet, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Dam Shvatzim Lokin Olav, because I, and they're saying you do, Rav is telling us that you do get Malkot for consuming Dam. Amar Rav Yizera, Hitru Bo Mishum Sheretz Loket, Mishum Dam Eino Loket. The statement of Rav is that Dam of a Sheretz has a din of Sheretz, which is that just like the Basar, the Or, and the Dam of a Sheretz, we learned earlier, they have all the same din of Sheretz, and they're all Mitameh, like the Sheretz, and they all have the same restriction of consumption like a Sheretz. There's no independent Isur Lav. It's just Sheretz. No independent Isur of Dam. But, so therefore, if you tell the individuals drinking the blood or consuming the blood of a Sheretz, that if you do that, you're going to be chayav for the Isur of Sheretz, then he's going to be chayav. That's what it means, lokin alav. You're lokin alav, be Isur Sheretz, when you have the dam of a Sheretz, and the kazayit of the dam Sheretz. But if you tell him you're going to be chayav for dam, and ochanami, you're not going to get malkot, because there is no Isur dam separately from the Isur of Sheretz. Amarav, dam dagim, shikinso, asur. Rav says, if you have dam of fish that is gathered together, that is asur. So, meitave, dam dagim, dam chagave, mutar. When it comes to the dam of fish, the dam of the locust, grasshoppers, they're mutar. Vafilu lechatchilo. Sounds like that is totally fine. As Rashi says over here, this is the seifa of the bright that we quoted before. We quoted before the bright that said dam tchol, dam alev, dam akleyo, dam avarim. That was one level, which is isur lav. Then we had the next level, which was Mechalkei Shtayim and Shvatzim and Rimasim. Those were Asur, but no Isur Lav. The latter part, the next line in that Braita, is Dam Dagim and Dam Chagamim, Mutar. It sounds like there, Mutar means Vafilu Lechatchila. In the sequencing of the Braita, you have Isur Lav, Isur without a Lav, and then you have Het there. So it sounds like the Dam Chagamim and the Dam Dagim are totally Mutar. So the Gemara answers, Hayi Bishlokinso. That the bright that's being met where you didn't gather it together, where you didn't bring the blood into a utensil. Kikamarav, Rav is Mishikinso. That's when he brought it together, he gathered it or pooled it in a certain area. As Rashi explains over here, that the problem is Maratayin. That we're worried about the fact that if you put it into, as Rashi says, into a kli, the Michlaf Vedam Be'ema, that will be confused with blood of a Be'ema. And someone who sees you drinking that blood, eating that blood from a kos, will think it's dam be'ema. They won't be able to differentiate between dam be'ema and dam dagim. So what Rav is saying is, if it is subject to confusion with be'ema, there you can't drink it. If it's not subject to that, then the dam is mutar lechatchila. So Gemara says, wait a minute. Dikavata, if you're going to create the scenario in the bright of being a case, shalokin so, or you didn't gather it together. Gabi mehalchei shtayim mishlokin so miasur. By human beings, if you do not pull the blood into an area or gather the blood in some way, is that really asur? You're telling me now the braita, which has three different sections, one where you're isur lav, one where there's an isur without a lav, and then one that's mutar lechatchila. That mutar lechatchila, you're telling me, is in a case where you did not pull it or gather it. That means that the other two sections are also in a case where you didn't pull it. And the Gemara challenges that and says, when you don't pull human blood, is it really asur? Batanya, dam shal gabe kikar. If you have blood on a loaf of bread, goruro vochlo. You just scrape it off and you can eat it. Shobena shinaim, that which is between the teeth, motutso ubolo. You can squeeze it out, you can suck it out, and you can swallow it. Veino choshesh, and you don't have to worry about it at all. Question is, what did this bright to do to change our mind about anything? The Braita says, well, if there's blood on a kikar, you have to remove it. You can't eat it. So if you can't eat it, then that shows you that dam, shlokin so, still is required to be removed. And if you tell me about, well, the shinayim shows you that, the shinayim is coming from where it's still attached. There is no kinso over there. So what did you prove to me about the case of dam shlokin so by mehalchei shtayim, where you're telling me, oh, you see that it's not asur? What do you mean you see that it's not a sur? In the case of the bread, I make you take it off. In the case of shinayim, then that's not even shalokin so, that's coming from mikoro. And therefore, that's why it's mutar. Rashi, in his explanation, basically solves that problem by saying the reason you have to scrape it off the kikar is leka isura. It's not a sur if you eat the dam on the bread. So you take a bite out of bread and there's some dam on it, you can eat that dam. It's not a problem. Miu mitzvah prosh yeshbo. There is still a mitzvah to separate away from it. Meaning that even though we don't have any isur associated with it, nevertheless, we tell you to stay away from things like this. Don't do this. So that's a different level. It's not something that's a sur. When we said in the Mishnah, Dam al-Cheshtayim, we said that there was an isur involved. Isur means something where you're restricted. Over here, prosh just means we advise you. We tell you it's better not to do it. That's not isur. So that's why this braita is a proof, because by the bread, the dam on it has no isur associated with it, even though it's lo kinso. And if it's lo kinso and it's mutar, then how come the Mishnah tells you that it's a sur? By Al-Cheshtayim. Al-Cheshtayim should be in the same category as chagavim and dagim. So Tosafot is bothered by this, and therefore he gives a different explanation over here, which is that the reason the Braita is a proof is the fact that if the latter part of the Braita was speaking about a particular situation in which there was heter by the dagim, then it should have also reflected a similar situation by the dam of the adam. Just like the dam adam has certain cases where it's mutar, like ben ashinayim, then the Braita should have mentioned that if it wanted to say by the latter part that the dam dagim also has a specific place where it is mutar. The fact that it doesn't do that by dam adam shows you that by dam dagim, it's giving you a generic heter and not limiting it into a particular type of case. And that's why that Braita is a question on the Braita that we brought before, because this Braita shows you that there are heterim by dam adam. And if you want to specify certain situations or circumstances where there was heter, it should have mentioned it by adam, it should have mentioned it by dagim. The fact that it doesn't mention it by adam shows you that also by dagim, it's not a particular case where there's heter, but rather generically, the Braita is saying that dam dagim is mutar. So Gemara says, Ela kitanya hi matnita de'itpe kaskasim. That Braita is a case where, yes, the blood was also pooled by the dam dagim and dam chagavim. The blood was captured in a kos. Then how's that different than Rav's case? Because by Rav's case, all you have is dam. That's where you can confuse the dam with the dam of a behema. In the case of the Braita, the dam has the fins and scales in it. There's something in the dam that identifies it as being fish blood as distinct from dam behema. Kikama Rav, asur de lepe kaskasim. And Rav's speaking about a case where there's no fins or scales in it, nothing identifies it as fish blood. So now, if you set up the Braita as being a case where the blood is pooled, that means that in the other section of the Braita where it's human blood and it's pooled, that would be problematic. That we know is Isur, and that's where the Isur of human blood is. If you already pool it, then there's an Isur involved with it. Amar Rav Sheshet, Dam al-Cheshtayim, Avilu Mitzvat Prosh Einbo. When it comes to human blood, there's not even a demand that you separate away from it. Meitaveh, is that really true? Dam atchol, dam chaleib, dam rakleiot, dam evarim, reilu below tasei, dam al-Cheshtayim, dam shvatzim, remasim, asur, vein chayavin alav. If it's asur, that sounds like even more than parush. I mean, it sounds like there is some restriction about titani asur de perish. The only time it's asur is when it's already left the adam. So that's what Rashi says. Of yersh perish min adam bekli o al gabe kikar. It's separated away from the individual into a kli or al gabe kikar. Over here, you see Rashi is somewhat conflating the issue of parush and isur here, which then takes away a little bit of what we gained before from Rashi, that the kikar is not an isur, it's just parosh. Now Rashi seems to conflate the two, and the Gemara itself seems to say that parosh and asur are the same thing. So that makes it again harder to understand what the Braita is, and that's why Tosafot goes down a different path to explain the Braita. Kikam Rav v'delo perish. Rav's statement, or really Rav Sheshet's statement that we saw before, is a case where it hasn't separated away from the individual. So if it's your own dam, where it hasn't separated away, like we saw with the Shinayim, there's no demand of parosh, there's no issue of Isur, Kedetanya. Dam shal gabe kikar goro vochlo. When it's on the bread, when it's already separated away from the person, there you need to scrape it away. So ben ha-shinayim motzeitz ubolo. The blood that's between your teeth, your gums are bleeding, there you can suck it out and swallow it. Ben ha-choshesh, you don't have to worry about it. There's not even a mitzvah of parosh in that case. Ike de matne lahad al-hada. So here, Rav Sheshet made a statement that Dam Malchei Shtayim Afilu Mitzvah Prosh Ein Bo. So we said it in the context over here, whereby we were dealing with Dam, and he says it's not even a Mitzvah Prosh, and then we have to explain that Rav Sheshet's statement was only in a case where it wasn't separated away from the individual, but if it's separated away from the individual, there is a Mitzvah Prosh. The Tanya, Yochol Chalav Malchei Shtayim Yeochlo Over Belav. You would think that when it comes to the milk of human beings, then anybody who eats it will be subject to a lav. Bidinu, ma beimat mea, what regards to a non-kosher animal, sheikalta b'maga'a, echmarta b'chalva, where you are makil with regards to contact, but yet you are still machmir with regards to its chalav, meaning that you can't drink its chalav, because they don't have any inherent tumah. They don't have these inherent tumot that are exuded by the item itself. So thereby, behemat mea, where when it's alive, it doesn't have any tumah, yet its milk is restricted. Malchei shtayim, when you're dealing with human beings, shechmarta v'magan, they can have tumah even when they're alive. When they have tumat zav and tumat nida, they have tumah when they're alive. And din shetachmir b'chalavan, and certainly their milk should have that same restriction associated with it. Tamal Omar, the Pasuk says, v'zeh lachem ha-tameh. These are items, this is what is tameh, zeh tameh, vein chalav machal cheshtayim tameh el ha-tahor. That tells you there's a distinction. Only these items, meaning these animals, have these restrictions of tumah, that is, non-kosher animals, but a human being does not have that restriction. Otzi et ha-chalav she'en shaveh b'kol, v'lo etzi adam she'en shaveh b'kol. Alright, so I will exclude chalav, because by chalav we have some milk, like from kosher animals, which is okay, versus the chalav of a behemat me'ah, which is restricted. So when it comes to a human being, I have a option of it either being like a behemat Torah or being like a behemat me'ah. And based on the pasuk, I'm going to say that it's like a behemat Torah. But what about dam? Dam is restricted to both kosher animals and no kosher animals. So I would have thought the same thing over here, which is just like dam of a behemat me'ah and a behemat Torah, and they're alive, have no tumah. A dam of a human being, where when he's alive, has tumah associated with it, certainly his dam should be asur. Tamal Omar, v'zeh lachem ha-tameh. Zeh tameh, v'en dam mehal cheshtayim tameh, ela tahor. Zeh tameh means only these items have that din of tumah, but human beings don't have this din of tumah, and therefore the dam of a human being is not restricted. Amar Allah Rav Sheshet, afilu mitzvah prosh ein bo. So there's where we have the statement of Rav Sheshet. When we say here that the dam of mehal cheshtayim is not tameh, but tahor, doesn't just mean tahor, it means legamre mutar, which is that there's not even a mitzvah parosh that is associated with it. All right, we're going to stop here by the last of the narrow lines on the top of Chof Bet Amud Aleph.